Oh, look who's back. Look who's back. Yes, everyone calm down. I'm back. I've been out sick. I told you in the last show, I felt like I was getting sick. It's this doggone, rootin' tootin' crazy weather. One day I got my winter coat on and my hat and gloves. The next day I'm in shorts and a t-shirt. I'll be all right, though. Don't you worry about me. No COVID. No COVID. You can't get COVID this close to Memorial Day. I read that online, so it's got to be true. But it's Monday, April 18th. Happy Easter. Happy Passover. Hey, listen, happy Ramadan. We got to be all-inclusive here. That's kind of going to be the theme of this show, so we might as well start now. Let's go. I should let you know right up front, the show is probably going to run a little long. I hope the voice is okay. This is as good as it's been in quite some time. So I hope the voice is okay. But I'm going to, see, I just had to stop there to cough. Oh, by the way, a couple of shows ago, I made an announcement. Well, I would like to make an announcement in reference to that announcement. The new announcement is, please disregard the last announcement. Here's why. A couple of things occurred to me about doing three shows a week. That was the announcement. I was going to try and do three shows a week. Now, I think people who regularly listen to the show have busy lives, hardworking people. And I kind of get the idea that people really set aside time and like to concentrate on the show. It even would appear people hate getting spoiler alerts. Oh, get a load of that. People don't like it when friends or family give them spoiler alerts to the show if they haven't listened yet. I just love that. So I realized three shows a week, even shorter shows, may be difficult for some people to keep up with. That was my number one issue. Number two, sometimes the topics I want to talk about just don't lend themselves to being discussed quickly. The Amazon versus unions episode, for instance. It was a little rushed, and I left out a ton of info that I wished I had included later. So back to one show a week, okay? Maybe an occasional extra show here and there if something pops up, but back to one show a week, disregard the three shows a week. I think it was just confusing people anyway. And yes, I would love to get to a consistent day of the week when I release the show. I know that can also be frustrating, the show coming out on different days of the week, but again, as a hardworking guy myself, who's kind of doing this as a hobby, it's tough. I got a business to operate. So as always, keep up by following me on Twitter, @comparison_show. A new show is always posted there. Subscribe for free on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, any of those apps. They'll notify you when a new show is available. Some of those apps are probably already on people's phones or laptops, so you don't have to download anything. Maybe just create a username and passwords, search for the show, and subscribe for free. No credit cards. It really is free. And the show will come to you. You'll get notifications if you enable them. You don't have to download the show. The show will just, you'll just get a notification. The show is available. You go and listen and be done with it. All right? That's all I'll say about that. Now, and I might talk a little fast again in this episode because I want to get through it. So keep up. I want to follow up on a few things from the last episode about Amazon and unions. And then we're going to get to the main topic, LGBTQ. And by the way, are you sick of hearing about Will Smith and the Oscars? Good, because I'm going to tell you something about this year's Oscars that I think is even crazier than the Will Smith slap. Doesn't have anything to do with Will Smith, but it has to do with the Oscars. And yeah, you heard me right. Way crazier, in my opinion, than what happened with Will Smith. I'll tell you about that. So stay tuned to the end of the show for that. First, following up on Amazon and the union vote victory in Staten Island. Thank you for your comments. Thank you for your feedback. Thank you to the listener who sent me the actual numbers from the union vote in Staten Island, because it does put things in better perspective to hear the actual numbers. I said in the show, it was not a landslide victory that some in the media were making it out to be. The final vote tally was 2,654 in favor of union versus 2,131 opposed, for a difference of 523. Only about half of the over 8,000 workers at the Staten Island facility took part in the vote. After the vote, the president of one of the most powerful unions in the country, Sean O'Brien, said that making organizing Amazon workers was going to be one of its main targets. O'Brien said in an interview, "The Teamsters see Amazon as the biggest threat to workers around the country, not just in the parcel delivery business." Amazon is the biggest threat to workers in this country? Well, interesting turnout for this historic vote in Staten Island was only 57%, with a final margin of only 523 votes. The final vote to unionize at another Amazon location in Bessemer, Alabama, currently is too close to call. That wasn't a landslide victory for the union. So it begs the question, if Amazon is really as bad as it's being made out to be, why aren't all 1 million workers in the U.S. beating down the door to vote to unionize? It can't all be Amazon's union-busting tactics. I mean, give the workers a little credit for knowing what they want. But let me give you some other interesting information. This is from an article on Fortune.com. You know Fortune magazine. Fortune.com. The title of the article is, "These are the top 10 companies most loved by liberals." Guess who's number one? Amazon. Amazon, in a survey, was rated as the number one company most loved by liberals. Now, what's the catch? This article is from 2016. But what happened? What happened between now and 2016 when Amazon was the number one most loved company by liberals? This comes from a poll done by SurveyMonkey. They were asked to conduct a poll on differences of opinion toward the top 100 companies. The survey went out to more than 10,000 U.S. adults who were asked about corporate reputation, trust, influence, and global impact. Survey respondents were also asked to self-identify as liberal, moderate, or conservative. To determine a list of the most loved or successful companies, SurveyMonkey used a composite measurement that includes answers to all 12 questions, both positive and negatives, such as which companies they would most want to work. Which companies they would want to invest in, would want to work for, as well as which ones are the most ruthless and which ones they want to shut down. Six of the top 10 companies are loved by both conservatives and liberals. Interesting. Disney, Amazon, Apple, Alphabet, Microsoft, and Johnson & Johnson. Those companies were rated as loved by both conservatives and liberals. So isn't that interesting? In just 2016, not that long ago, less than 10 years ago, Apple, Microsoft, Amazon were some of the most trusted, respected companies among both liberals and conservatives. What happened, Amazon? And it's easy to say, well, Amazon happened. They did it to themselves. Amazon did it to themselves. But did they? Did they really? Are you sure about that? Or do you just think that? Because if we stop and really consider where Amazon is today, they're where people, liberals, wanted them to be 10 years ago. In terms of pay, $15 an hour starting minimum wage, offering health benefits, offering 401ks. I mean, Amazon is actually a pretty good employer for most people, which again lends to the reason why the unionization push isn't an all-out stampede for people towards unionizing. I'll tell you what I think happened, partly. I don't think Amazon is completely innocent, but what I really think happened with the perception of Amazon over the past decade, Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, and Alexandria.
Keep my name out your mouth.
Ocasio-Cortez. I mean, really think about it. And I don't want to get distracted on this point, but if you think back to the companies that liberals used to applaud, like the Shake Shacks, and what was the retailer? Was it Costco or Price Club or something? They used to always say, oh, we wish companies like Walmart was usually their target back then, or McDonald's. They should be more like Shake Shack, or they should be more like Costco. They offer $15 an hour. They offer benefits to their workers. That was what they wanted. That was what they were screaming these companies need to do, what they need to offer their workers. And now here's Amazon, along with other companies like McDonald's, like Walmart, offering those things. And now they're screaming, we need to unionize. So I found that very interesting. And I don't think there's any question that we have to equate the fact that in less than 10 years, Amazon has gone from the number one loved company by liberals to their reputation, their perceived reputation now, has got to have something to do with the hammering they have taken from progressives, from people like Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, and Alexandria, you can't spell unions without communism, Ocasio-Cortez. As I say, I don't have any problem with going after billionaires. I don't have any problem with going after greedy corporations that don't pay taxes. I think they sometimes just go too harshly after the wrong billionaires or the wrong corporations. I also got a fair question, simple question, but fair question from a listener. Why do corporations hate unions so much? If unions aren't bad, why do corporations hate them so much? I think was the gist of the question. And it's a fair question. And I kind of gave the answer in a tweet. It's, again, it's not necessarily where the union starts. It's where the union goes. It's where the union goes once they get in the door. That's the concern. First of all, we understand business hates unpredictability. They hate that. You may say, well, if you have a union, you have a contract, you have predictability. No, you don't. No, you don't. I know as a business owner, and you learn this early on, as a business owner, if you're a contractor, if you go in to bid a job, let's say I'm going to go bid cleaning toilets at Giant Stadium in New Jersey. I'm not going to bid the job as if the stadium is closed and there are no events going on. No, I'm going to bid the job considering there was just an Eagles versus Cowboys game. Or I'm going to bid the job as if there was just a Naughty by Nature concert there. Semen and gunpowder all over the place. Is Naughty by Nature still touring? They were a good group. Only had a couple songs, but they were good songs. So I'm going to bid the job under the worst of circumstances. Not the best of circumstances, the worst of circumstances. So unions kind of make corporations have to adjust their business practices for the worst of circumstances when it comes to labor, which may make them less competitive in their market segment. They don't want that. And it really does matter. As I say, I can't understate it. It's not where the union starts. You may hear, oh, this is all we're asking for. And look at how we're treated, you know, from the workers' point of view. Why can't the corporation just give us these few concessions that we're asking for? And that may not be the problem. It may be what is asked for 3 years down the line, 5 years, even 10 years down the line, because a union doesn't exist unless it's constantly getting something for the workers. You negotiate that first union contract, but if you've been paying dues for 5 years and you're still getting the exact same thing in terms of pay, in terms of benefits, you're going to start to scratch your head and ask, why am I paying these union dues? I could have got this pay on my own. They would have given me these benefits without the union. So there has to be an incentive for people to stay in the union, to stay paying the dues, and that means there has to be more down the line. That's the concern from the corporation's point of view. From the worker's point of view, let me say, I get it. I get it on some things. Mandatory overtime, for instance. I know that's a big one at Amazon. Mandatory overtime during the holidays. Now, we've all been there. People who have worked hourly jobs before. You work overtime, maybe 10 or 12 hours overtime, and you say, oh, ho, ho, I can't wait for my check this week. I worked a bunch of overtime hours. My check is going to be fat. Then you get your check and you say, where's all my money? Because it kind of got eaten up by additional withholding. Maybe you got bumped into a different tax bracket because of the additional income. And the check is nowhere near as much as you thought it was going to be. In addition to that, for some people at Amazon, I'm quite sure when they have to work that mandatory overtime, now they have to make arrangements, maybe for kids, maybe they have to pay someone to watch the kids a couple extra hours. Maybe they have to pay to watch the kids on a Saturday. And so the additional income is eaten up by the additional cost that they have to pay to work that mandatory overtime. So it comes down to what the heck am I doing here? I'm essentially working 10 to 12 hours a week for free. So no one wants that either. But Amazon got to get them packages out. Somebody ordered a curling iron during Christmas and they want that curling iron. So it's tough. It's tough. It's not a simple this size right, this size wrong. The last thing I would say, and then we'll move on to the transgender issue, is I would just caution people on the left, as I have been with all this union stuff. I would caution people, because if I was Amazon and the union somehow wins on the whole mandatory overtime during the holidays, if they eliminate that, if I was Amazon, I'd be going right to Congress and lobbying Congress and saying, listen, we need to adjust the seasonal temporary work visas for people to come into this country and help us out. We have no choice. We have to operate. We have to have a secure, reliable labor force. We're competing globally. We have to have a reliable labor force. Please adjust and allow for more seasonal temporary work visas for people to come into this country who want to come into this country and work. And those seasonal employees will very quickly turn into permanent employees. And the workers at Amazon who find their hours now reduced or find themselves out of a job altogether will have only themselves and the union to thank. Oh, let me just say one last thing before I leave this topic. There's something the left loves to tell everyone, and they should remind themselves of this fact. Corporations are not people. Remember that? Mitt Romney said, corporations are people, my friend. And the left said, no, corporations are not people. Well, corporations are not people. Stop trying to engender them with the characteristics of people. Oh, why can't this corporation just do the right thing? Why can't this corporation treat their workers better? Why can't the corporations pay more in taxes? Because they're not people. Corporations are not people. They're an entity. Corporations are no more of a person or they than a forest fire is a they. Just like a forest fire, corporations form and grow. Some grow massive and out of control and cause destruction. Forest fires also create life. They create the natural cycle of life through a necessary evil of their existence. Corporations have their positive effects on the world. We can't deny that. So the balance is what matters. The balance between corporations and labor. Neither side pushing too hard in one direction or the other. Labor not taking advantage of an unusually tight labor market due to the pandemic and some friendly social government policy in recent years has shifted the power dynamic in their direction. And then corporations can't make so many demands and push workers so hard that it makes them have to make a decision. Would I rather suffer at work or would I rather suffer out of work? Balance is always the key. So, moving on to the topic of transgender and LGBTQ rights. First of all, before I even get started, let me make this statement. All opinions are respected here. All legitimate opinions are respected. We really need to get to a place in this country where people's disagreements are not seen as a blight on their soul. Oh, you don't think transgender youth should play sports for the team they identify with? You must be the Antichrist. No. Some people just have a legitimate difference of opinion, maybe for religious reasons. And people should not be judged for their religious beliefs. It's just as simple as that. But I will say, I like Chick-fil-A. I like Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A has their religious beliefs. But when we had the horrible shooting at the Pulse nightclub in Florida, I don't know if people know, Chick-fil-A, who closes on Sunday because of their religious beliefs, opened their restaurant near the Pulse nightclub and serve food to the first responders, serve food to the people who gathered to mourn. They didn't stop being Christians. They didn't change their stance on gay issues. No, they just were being compassionate. So I like that. And I'm happy because I like their chicken. And I may not agree with all their policies, but they know how to run a chicken operation. I'll tell you that. So that's all. I respect people's religious beliefs, and we all should. You just hope it comes along with a little compassion. That's all. So that being said, I don't completely understand the issue of transgender. I don't. I think it's fair for me to say that. But I don't need to completely understand it to respect transgender people. I'll respect them. I may ask questions. Probably not, because I'm not that interested. But I may ask questions. I may say, listen, is there a difference between someone who's transgender and, let's say, a guy who just likes to dress up in sexy lingerie? I'm guessing there is. I'm guessing One is just somebody has a sexual predilection, and someone else, it's a lifestyle. It's how they were born. It's how they feel. But I'll ask the question. I shouldn't be judged for that, nor should people be judged for who they choose to love or how they choose to live their lives. They shouldn't be judged for that, especially if they're not hurting anyone. Now, this issue is an issue because of bills being passed down in Florida. It's being called the Don't Say Gay Bill. That's kind of the spin that's been put on it. And the proponents of the bill would tell you there's nothing in there about gay. It doesn't say anything about gay. The bill says, in essence, you can't teach sexuality, things of that nature, to children. I believe it's from K through three, through kindergarten through third grade. They don't want that being taught in the schools, sexuality, gender, that sort of stuff. I mean, they're obviously talking about gay and transgender and things like that, but they want that to be taught at home. That's fair. I get that. I don't think there's anything untoward about that. It's hard because, you know, anything right now coming out of DeSantis and out of Florida, you immediately go, there must be something wrong here. But I don't see anything wrong with saying we want those things, particularly to the younger children. We want the parents to have the option to teach that. We don't want it being taught in school. I get it. We'll circle back to that in a minute. But it also came up, questions came up at the Supreme Court nomination hearing for Ketanji. Ted Cruz had a question. Marsha Blackburn had a question about how do you define a woman or what is a woman, that conservatives jumped all over because Ketanji apparently, as they put it, couldn't answer the question, what is a woman? But I'm going to play the Ted Cruz clip because it kind of covers both. I'm not going to worry about the Marsha Blackburn clip. Let's play the Ted Cruz clip because I love it when someone feels like they've come up with a stumper. They've come up with just a stumper of a question. And I believe that's what Ted Cruz thought that he had here. So let's listen to Ted Cruz questioning Ketanji on the issue of transgender.
So yesterday, under questioning from Senator Blackburn, you told her that you couldn't define what a woman is, that you were not a biologist, which I think you're the only Supreme Court nominee in history who's been unable to answer the question, what is a woman? Let me ask you, as a judge, how would you determine if a plaintiff had Article III standing to challenge a gender-based rule, regulation, policy without being able to determine what a woman was?
So, Senator, I know that I'm a woman. I know that Senator Blackburn is a woman, and the woman who I admire most in the world is in the room today, my mother. It sounded as though
let me ask, under the modern leftist sensibilities, if I decide right now that I'm a woman, then apparently I'm a woman. Does that mean that I would have Article III standing to challenge a gender-based restriction?
Senator, to the extent that you are asking me about who has the ability to bring lawsuits based on gender, those kinds of issues are working their way through the courts, and I'm not able to comment on them.
Okay, if I can change my gender, if I can be a woman, and then an hour later, if I decide I'm not a woman anymore, I guess I would lose Article III standing. Tell me, does that same principle apply to other protected characteristics? For example, I'm an Hispanic man. Could I decide I was an Asian man? Would I have the ability to be an Asian man and challenge Harvard's discrimination because I made that decision?
Senator, I'm not able to answer your question. You're asking me about hypotheticals and
I'm asking you how you would assess standing if I came in and said, I have decided I identify as an Asian man.
I would assess standing the way I assess other legal issues, which is to listen to the arguments made by the parties, consider the relevant precedents and the constitutional principles involved, and make a determination.
I just bet you they were high-fiving in Ted Cruz's office when he came up with that question, or someone came up with that question. Who knows who came up with it? Maybe it was him. Maybe it was one of his aides. But I guarantee you they thought, oh, we got a stumper here. Ask her this. Ask her this. I'm a Hispanic man. Can I just decide I'm an Asian man if I want to? If people can just decide they're a man, or they say I feel more like a woman, so I'm going to be a woman. And the answer is so simple, that it won once again makes you wonder, what is Ted Cruz doing in the Senate? What is he doing in the Senate asking questions like this? And I don't want to overstep my bounds and speak for the LGBTQ community, but the answer, the simple answer I believe is no one is deciding to be gay. No one is deciding to be trans. It doesn't work that way. You don't just wake up and decide I'm a man today, and then an hour later decide I'm a woman. I think the LGBTQ community would tell you this is how you were born. That's the discussion that's been going on for years now, Ted Cruz. This is how you were born. Remember, I said you don't have to understand it to respect it. This is what people are saying. It's not a decision. It's how you were born. So no, Ted Cruz, you can't be a Hispanic man who decides to be an Asian man because you want to sue over something, a class action suit that Asians are involved in. That's what all that discussion about Title III or whatever was about. Or no, you can't decide to be a woman instead of a man to get some sort of benefit that is only available to women or only available to black people, let's say, or minorities, whether it be an opportunity to get into college or some type of a business grant. Maybe that's the direction that he was trying to go. Well, can't people just decide I'm this or I'm that in order to reap benefits for that particular protected class? Well, deal with that person. Deal with that person. It's the same thing with bathrooms. You know, the question always comes up, oh, we can't have these trans bathrooms. We can't have trans people, someone who's born a male going into the ladies' restroom. There could be a pervert who says, oh, you know, I'm a woman, and dresses up like a woman so that he could sneak into the ladies' bathroom and peek at the women. Deal with that pervert. Don't condemn an entire group of people because of that pervert, because you're worried about that pervert. Deal with that person. That's the person doing something wrong in that scenario. The trans people who want to use a restroom aren't doing anything wrong in your own scenario where you're concerned about a pervert going into the bathroom in order to peep at women. Deal with the pervert. Condemn the pervert, not the entire LGBTQ community. You know, I got to say to Ted Cruz and Ron DeSantis, you know, some people in some of these conservative states in Florida and Texas and Oklahoma and some of these other conservative states, there doesn't seem to be a year that goes by where I don't hear a story about some high school or even college football team having their season canceled because of some hazing incident. Some hazing incident. Now, I played a little football in my day, and I remember hazing. Freshman. You got to carry the upperclassmen's helmet and shoulder pads back to the locker room. Freshman, you got to clean up the field at the practice. Empty and rinse out all the Gatorade coolers and put everything away into the equipment shed. Freshman, you got to perform a skit in front of the whole team at the next team meeting, some funny skit. I remember all that hazing. At no point do I ever remember anyone saying, hey, you know what would be funny for hazing? Why don't we all put our penises in each other's mouths? I don't remember that, ever. But every year, there's some football team getting canceled because, there was a hazing incident reported where a bunch of boys were running around naked, putting their penises on each other's foreheads. Now the season is canceled. Well, deal with that. You're worried about trans issues, Ted Cruz? You're worried about trans issues, Ron DeSantis? Deal with that. Figure out what's going on with that. I swear, if you're so concerned about sexuality, but it seems like whenever I hear crazy stories about sexuality going on in the high schools, the only people not doing anything wrong are the people who are trans or gay. And no, I don't fully understand all the new gender classifications. I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't completely disagree with the bill in Florida that some of these issues should be taught at home. I don't agree with Phil Murphy in New Jersey, governor of New Jersey right now, who's pushing to teach some sort of gender identity in the schools to young children. I don't agree with that. I have respectful disagreements with some people who feel like we should allow trans youth to play on sports teams. I'm just not there on that yet. I don't see how that works. But all it takes is a little discussion in a way that people can understand it and aren't threatened by it. For instance, if your daughter showed up to your house with a transgendered friend, okay, I would hope you would say, oh, that's interesting. Good to see my daughter is broadening her horizons, has an open mind. That's fine. I'm okay with that. I might caution her, hey, be careful. There's still a lot of hate out there, so just be careful. On the other hand, if your daughter shows up at the house and says, hey, this is my boyfriend. His name is Concern. He's a poet. We're on our way to the coffee house where he's going to do a spoken word poem on the plight of the indigenous peoples in the diaspora. No Concern. Whatever your name is not Concern. Your name is Craig. That's what your mother named you. Your mother named you Craig. I'd much rather my daughter have a transgendered friend than someone walking around calling himself Concern. We get ourselves all worked up again because it gets made political. There's so much rhetoric. But the fact of the matter is, we let a lot of stuff slide that's just ridiculous. Even in the media, even in the mainstream media, you'll see it. When we come back, we'll be interviewing the rapper Lil Flip Flop about his new album that's about to drop, Bitch Better Have My Money. You'll expose your kids to that? That you're okay with exposing your kids to, but not transgender? His name is not Lil Flip Flop. His name is Steven. Roy Ward Jr. tells a funny joke. Hulk Hogan's name is not Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan's name is Terry. But we go along with it. It's fine. What do we care? What do I care? As long as no one's getting hurt, as long as nothing illegal is getting done, what do I care who someone wants to love, how someone wants to identify? Don't they have the right? The heart wants what the heart wants. If you're struggling to understand that, I struggle to understand how Donald Trump got so many beautiful women. Think about it. Marla Maples, Ivana, Melania, the Playboy Playmate. Yeah, Stormy Daniels, I'm not big on the huge fake boobs, but an attractive woman. Donald Trump racking up one beautiful woman after another. And don't tell me it was about the money, because there are plenty of rich guys out there for those ladies. So don't tell me about it. It's about the money, because you just picture Donald Trump naked coming at you in a bedroom. There's not enough money in the world. So explain that to me. You're trying to understand transgender. Explain that to me. The heart wants what the heart wants. That's what it's about. It's about love. It's not about sex. It's about love. If you're in a loving relationship, you recognize that. The sex becomes secondary very quickly. The heart wants what the heart wants. The Playboy Playmate that Donald Trump paid off to stay silent, that Inquirer story, if you saw her interviewed, you saw she was truly in love with Donald Trump. She was a drop-dead gorgeous woman. She was truly in love with Donald Trump. She thought that he was going to leave his wife for her. So, again, explain that. So, as usual, I see it from both sides. I caution people on the left. I caution people who are pro-LGBTQ. The country just isn't there yet on everything. For a long time, the country wasn't there on gay marriage, and then they kind of got there. The country isn't completely there on trans issues. So we shouldn't be too quick to condemn people, particularly people who have religious objections, people who just have a little bit of a lack of understanding of exactly what's wanted from the trans community. You can't just force feed this stuff to people. You just can't say, well, I know I'm right and you're wrong, and so you're just going to have to accept this. No. It's not going to work that way. I would like to see if we're going to start to see more of these bills, like the Florida bill being passed across the country, where we're restricting what can be taught to kids in schools. I would like to see there being an effort being made to inform parents at home about how to talk to their children about these issues. If you want to talk about it at home to your children, I'd like to see the LGBT community have a hand in helping to structure some information for the parents. I think parents should take them up on that, make it a little bit easier to have the conversations if you want to have the conversations. Make up a brochure. Call it something like, your child's teacher is gay. Now what? I don't know. As long as parents can feel like they have a say on these issues, because I think most people, I sure do hope, most people have the compassion. They understand the struggle that kids go through. Any child. Forget about being gay. Forget about being trans. Just being a child in school nowadays is hard enough with all the cliques, with all the peer pressure. Why make it harder? Why make it harder for children who feel different than other children? No one wants that. I just heard a clip played on the radio this morning on the Joe Madison Show. Thank you, Joe Madison. Of Glenn Beck, if anyone remembers him, former radio host. I guess he's still a radio host, but now he's in some small market. I don't know. But they're joking and laughing about transgender genocide. Yeah, funny topic, huh? They're joking and laughing about somebody said there's transgender genocide, and then they're laughing. Where is this transgender genocide? I didn't know I was killing transgender people. It's just a horrible, horrible clip. I was going to play it, but I'm not going to. And I sure do hope that no one thinks that transgender or gay kids killing themselves or being bullied and in some instances being killed is a laughing matter. I know that can't be the case in this country, can it? We can't teach each other about our differences, respect each other's differences without hatred. Sesame Street does it. They do it. They've been doing it. Before kids get to school, Sesame Street makes it a point to teach kids about differences. You're going to encounter people in your life that are different from you, that look different than you do, that talk different than you do. Doesn't make them bad people, just makes them different. It's just fear. People fear what they don't understand, and people are afraid, oh, what if my child turns out to be gay or turns out to be trans if they're exposed to that? It's not the way it works. I don't think so. Again, don't want to overstep my bounds, but I don't think that's the way it works. Maybe people think that because they think that they're seeing it more now. It's like, oh, geez, I mean, all of a sudden, everybody's gay, everybody's trans, everybody's got this gender identity crisis all of a sudden. Well, it's not all of a sudden. As Chris Rock once said in a joke, the person in your family that's gay, they were gay when they were a little kid. They were gay when they were young. They just didn't have anybody to be gay with. That's kind of how it is in the country, in the world. There have been gay people for centuries. They just didn't have anybody to be gay with because you had to hide the fact that you were gay. And now you don't, we would hope. And that's why you see it more. It's not that there are more people deciding to come out as gay. It's just that people now feel comfortable to come out as gay. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Because, again, we don't want people being miserable, living miserable secret lives where they're marrying someone that they don't love because they want to keep up appearances for society's sake. We don't want that. Now you got two miserable people. The person who was gay who married the straight person and the straight person who married someone who's gay who didn't know they were gay. Is that what you want for your child? That the miserable life you want for your child? Of course not. So it's a good thing, not a bad thing, that we're seeing it more because it's there. It's always been there. And it's not hurting anyone. People being who they are, people loving who they want to love, the heart wants what the heart wants. It's not hurting anyone. So relax. You can't make someone gay any more than you can make Ted Cruz likable. Okay, good. I'm not doing too bad on time. Let's finish with this crazy story from the Oscars. Crazier, I think, than the Will Smith slap that made all the news. This didn't make any news. I happened to hear this listening to Howard Stern. She was being interviewed. Amy Schumer, by the way, was being interviewed by Howard Stern. Amy Schumer hosted the Oscars with Wanda Sykes and Regina Hall. Okay? So she was being interviewed by Howard Stern when she revealed this. Let's listen to the clip.
Yeah. And the Kirsten Dunst, I did a bit with Kirsten Dunst and Jesse Plemons. That was completely orchestrated. We talked beforehand. You know, the joke was that I was pretending like I thought she was a seat filler. And, you know, we all worked that out together. I got death threats. I got really? The Secret Service reached out to me. They were so bad that the Secret Service reached out to yeah, about that bit. I'm like, oh, I think you have the wrong number. This is Amy, not Will. Like, you are getting death threats. Okay. Wow. Not that I want Will to get death threats, but it just, the misogyny is unbelievable. And people, you know.
Wait, well, I'm not understanding. Why did you get death threats?
Because they were like, you can't, who do you think you are to disrespect Kirsten Dunst like that? And this
really, the LA, and the Secret LA, Service,
the Secret Service, the LAPD, because it was, they were that serious and that many. And they called me and they were like, did you make fun of Kirsten Dunst at the Oscars? I was like, yes, Kirsten, we worked at, you know, but she was really nice. Her and Jesse are the coolest. And she even posted like, hey, I knew about that bit. Like, cause she knew I was getting death threats.
So yeah. Did you catch that? Amy Schumer, the comedian, got death threats after she did a little joke on Kirsten Dunst at the Oscars. And it's a joke I believe I've seen before where a celebrity is mistaken for a seat filler. They pretend like they don't recognize this well-known celebrity and think they're a seat filler. And Amy Schumer got death threats for that. You heard her. So many death threats and so serious, the LAPD and Secret Service had to get involved. How crazy is that? And I don't want to put myself out there and get on the wrong side of these people. But who are these people? Who are the people who are rabid Kirsten Dunst fans and psychos who send death threats online? Where is that overlap? Who are those people? I can't believe people who sit at home fuming in front of their keyboards, sending out death threats, are even the same type of people who even watch the Oscars. What are you doing even watching the Oscars? I don't know if you find this interesting or crazy or not, but I don't know. In one Oscars episode, we got a guy slapping somebody over a joke, and we got a volume of people big enough making death threats to a comedian because of a joke that the comedian worked out with the celebrity ahead of time, and the celebrity even went online to say, calm down, she worked this joke out with me ahead of time. I wasn't humiliated. I don't know. Maybe it's because Amy Schumer is Senator Chuck Schumer's cousin, and there were a bunch of people out there who collectively all thought to themselves, I hate Chuck Schumer. I hate liberals. I know what I'll do. I'll send a death threat to his cousin. Or maybe not. Maybe I'm giving him too much credit saying that. Maybe there are just a whole bunch of people out there who are really, really big fans of that cheerleading movie, Bring It On, and they're willing to kill over it. Oh, that's the show. Thanks for listening. I made it through. I made it with this sickness. Thank you for being patient, hanging in there with me while I was sick. I really do appreciate it. I really do appreciate people making the time, investing the time. The people who say they do, they really do invest the time in the show, and I do appreciate it. Please continue to listen. Listen on Apple Podcast. Listen on Spotify. Listen on Amazon Music. Listen on Google Podcast. Anywhere you get podcasts. People were not happy with my Hunter Biden show, the Hunter Biden laptop show. Listen, nobody bats 1,000, okay? I was trying to make a point in that show about how it's a waste of time to talk about these scandals in the way that we do, particularly when we don't know where the scandal's going, where it's going to end up. I felt like it was a waste of time for me to get into the details of Hunter Biden's life. All right, listen, if it'll make you happy, I'll go back. I'll delve into exactly what's on the laptop. I'll do the homework for you. I'll tell you what's on there. But I'm telling you, you're going to be disappointed. You're going to be disappointed. Just remember you asked me to do it. I'll do it. I'll do it. People were not happy. I had one listener comment, "What's on the laptop, you jerk?" That was not necessary. I had another listener say, "How do we get to the Bachelor? What about the laptop?" Fair. Maybe it wasn't necessary for me to delve into my soliloquy on The Bachelor at the end of the show there. I get that. All right, fine. But trust me, there'll be more Hunter Biden talk coming up in the future. Don't worry about that. Just stay tuned and keep listening. There's so much more to me. Somehow I'll have to make them. Just understand, I got it well in hand.